This is Wine and Dine in LA with Anoush, where I talk about wine in a fun and approachable way and bring you all insights of the world of wine.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you are having a wonderful Friday. We have a very special guest today with Mini Kebab, Armin. Armin, what an inspiring story. You are such a hardworking person, just like your parents are, and it's amazing to learn about all the difficulties and also determination and the drive for making the best and being the best. So after you left the ramen place, where did the life take you next?
So ramen, yeah, right after I left, it was a matter of, okay, at that point, it was immersing myself into social media and, you know, the Instagram boom. So once I left ramen, I had started this Instagram account called Eat Period. And ultimately, what I wanted to do was just market Mini Kebab as the business through it as a different platform. So we can have a different platform to market ourselves off of and not have to go through, you know, just the older wave of marketing of just like handing out flyers, et cetera, because, you know, technology is still developing and adapting. So I left ramen and I was at Mini Kebab at that point. The goal was to just increase sales, increase social media exposure again, and just, you know, kind of get a better balance of how we can move forward. And so it was trying to level things out and then start moving progressively. And so with the first year, I remember not taking a single cent for Mini Kebab. I was just, you know, I was going to a lot of food events and I was networking and all these food events, I was meeting a lot of influencers and, you know, I was getting to meet big writers. I was getting to meet everybody. And don't get me wrong, like, it was great, but it was so exhausting. I'm grateful to have been able to eat all those delicious foods and not have to pay for it, but it was becoming exhausting because it's, you know, you have to travel 2 hours.
Absolutely tiring. Yeah, I have done a lot of wine events at the food and wine festivals, and you work there, you stand behind the table, and you have hundreds and hundreds of people come through, and you have to say pretty much the same thing over and over again, and it's not a long conversation. It's a short one, and you try to give your best, but at the end of the day, it's exhausting. Fun, but exhausting. 100%. So I completely understand.
It was definitely taking a toll, but I was like, you know, you need to keep doing it because you need to see a positive effect. You need to see it kind of benefit the business, benefit everything. And so I remember 2-3 years down the line, this is like 2017, 2018 now, or late 2017. Social media brought us business, social media brought us exposure, and I was ready to pursue something else. And so my friends, had a lot of influencers come into the restaurant. We made this like burrito at Mini Kebab with lavash. And it was just the most like grotesque looking thing. It just didn't look appealing at all. But I liked the whole like wrapping ability of it. And it made sense to me. And my friends at Food Beast, Eli, Mark, Reach, all those guys came by and we made a video of a kebab burrito. And it was huge. It was still like really ridiculous. I had like a pound of tabbouleh in there. I had fresh potatoes. Yeah, it was crazy. We had like all this chicken, this kebab, chicken kebab. I had pilaf in there. I mixed it with like this, the fire roasted tomatoes and the jalapenos. And I threw some rehan in there, which is a Thai basil. And I smeared like hummus on the base. It was crazy. It was really big. And it didn't make sense.
Sounds delicious. It sounds so good. Like, I want to eat it right now.
It took so long to make because, you know, I was making everything from scratch, but it was too much. It wouldn't make sense in a business model. And so what I did at that point was I'm like, I like this. And we dumbed it down. We toned it down. And I remember Silva Sevian from USC, she contacted me and she basically said, hey, we're going to do this thing called Innovate Armenia at USC. Would you like to be a part of it? And I've never done anything like it. And I said, sure, why not? And so I remember we were planning for 2-3 months. I was like, holy crap, pardon my French. I need to, you know, form a business. I need to do everything. So I remember in that time frame, I had nothing. Like, we had zero. And in a 2-month time frame, I had to essentially you know, form my company, you know, go get all my paperwork done. I had to get everything set up while creating this system of structure that I haven't really done anything with and launch it. And it came September 2017. It was one of the most stressful days of my life. But, you know, September 23rd, 2017, it was stressful. But, you know, I over-prepared and we did good. It was very embarrassing looking back at it now. But
why?
You know what?
Go ahead.
It was embarrassing because of the quality. I don't want to say the quality of product was bad at all, but like, you know, I've grown so much now to where I've been able to scale the product way better than I've done before. Like making fresh tortillas, as opposed to having just Guerrero taco shells. You can go buy them from, you know, Smart and Final. I wanted it to be something special. I wanted it to be unique. And, you know, coming from a place of passion and like, putting a lot of energy.
But that is the thing, you know, you formed a business within 2 months, you know, you put the pressure on yourself. You didn't say no, you were open to the new opportunity. You did it. You did everything. And I'm sure, you know, whoever came through, you know, they weren't there for the looks and stuff, you know, they were there and they saw your authenticity and your excitement and your passion behind the food. So I think it's like, it's amazing.
Thank you. It was a good turnout.
You know what? I'm not ready or done something safe and secure, but you wanted to challenge yourself, and you did, and that's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, it was definitely a unique time. A lot of growing in that 2 months, and after that, I think I started to take it a lot more seriously. I was like, okay, now I have a business, and so essentially, my friend Zach Brooks, he runs Smorgasburg LA. He's the general manager there. And he came to Mini Kebab. He wanted to put Mini Kebab there. I go, I don't want to put Mini Kebab there. I'd like to put something else there. And so we launched Midi's Tacos, fully branded, 2018 January at Smorgasburg. And it was honestly a pretty cool experience. And it still is, obviously. We've grown, we've grown our Instagram following to about 30,000-40,000. We've done so many different, you know, we've done Skechers holiday party. We've done all these really cool corporate events. So it's only 2.5 years old, but it's taking so long in the 2.5 years, we've grown so much. Mind you, I'm still working like 60, 70 hours at Mini Kebab, and the goal is to constantly grow the companies and just as much notoriety as we can get and constantly develop and change and adapt and just make sure we're able to kind of, you know, pursue good food, honest food, and just scalable product.
Absolutely. What is, for some people who are listening, what is a smorgasbord?
Yes.
I mean, is it a place? Is it a...
No, you're right. I should have been more specific. Smorgasburg is actually in the Arts District. It's at this place called The Row. And The Row throughout the week actually sells produce to the restaurants and like Restaurant Depot and the general public if you need to. But it starts like at 1 a.m. and ends at like 9 a.m. And it's usually the best time to go shopping for product anyways, just because you beat the rush, etc. But on Sundays, The Row transforms into this thing called the Smorgasburg, like where Mideast is at. And it's basically like 50, 60 different food vendors. There's jewelry vendors. There's fashion. You know, there's ice cream. There's dessert. And it's just so much fun. It collectively, you know, it gets up to 10 to 12,000 people. And you get to, you know, in one booth, you're having like, you know, a Mideast taco. In another booth, you're having smoked pastrami from the Ugly Drum. In another one, you're having, you know, you're having lobster rolls. In another one, you're having vegan Ethiopian food. And so that's ultimately, it's a smorgasburg of foods and, you know, collective like ethnic groups and everybody coming together to kind of, you know, do what they know and what they like. And, you know, a lot of small business owners, they're trying to pursue their passion in food and jewelry, whatever it may be. And so it's actually a unique place to be because you're supporting a small business, young entrepreneurs, even older entrepreneurs. And you're just watching these people, you know, put their heart and soul on a plate and serve you their food and try to make something out of it. That, in my opinion, is what the smorgasburg is and all about. It's a family vibe, and everybody there supports each other. Everybody there takes care of each other. Whatever you need, A to Z, people take care of each other. And that's really, really important, especially for smorgasburg. And, you know, I appreciate handful, and it's every Sunday. It's nice, but obviously because of the downtime,
do you need
now,
a ticket
we're not able
for
to
that,
do it.
Or
so
do you need to buy a
you
ticket?
Need to have no, it's free. You can get in for free. But as a booth, you'd have to obviously get all your paperwork in order to just to make sure you're good, general insurance, so on and so forth. But as a consumer, you can just, the only thing you'd have to pay for would be parking in the structure behind, but it's like $7 for all day.
That sounds like a perfect place to spend your Sunday, Ed. Unfortunately, we cannot do it right now, and hopefully sooner than later. Going back to the mini kebab, you know, there is, in Glendale, there's so many kebab restaurants, takeouts, and et cetera. How do you guys keep above the competition? Obviously, with all the hard work, but how and what does it take to be still the, when you think about a kebab, you think about mini kebab. One of the places is this, the place you think of mini kebab.
So initially, I remember it takes a lot of growing, you know. I know I get a little deep into it, but as a person, I think you need to learn and you need to adapt and you have to understand yourself as a person. With me, initially, I was comparing ourselves to other restaurants, and I was like, you know, why are we not, obviously, you know, trying to pursue more bigger things. You're like, okay, what do you need to do? And I remember at one point I stopped focusing on other people. I was like, okay, what's our niche? How can we market our product? Our food is delicious. How can we make it better? Our marketing is great. How can we make that better? And so, you know, what I realized is that we're 3-4 people. We have hands-on with everything. My mom and dad are, everybody knows my mom and dad when they come in. So what I started doing was, you know, just small little niche-y things about mom and pop vibes. People coming in, you know, they see my mom and dad. So I started marketing my mom and dad a little more. You know, I'll market them dancing. People love it. It's just nothing but good energy.
I saw the video. It's so sweet.
It's just, it's a matter of kind of giving people what they like to see. And especially now during these times, it's a matter of giving people good energy. But ultimately, it's just, you know, constant food. You have to be on social media constantly. I was posting, you know, photos every day. We're doing like Instagram stories, 8 to 10 to 12 a day. You want to be in people's, you know, mind frame. You want to be in people's span. So right before we open, I'll do an Instagram post and I'll start posting stuff on the story.
While we're talking about Instagram, why don't you share your Instagram account? And if there is other any social media accounts that people can follow.
Definitely. So we have a mini underscore kebab, which is mini kebabs. We have Midi's Tacos. We also have, I have Eat Bearded. Eat Bearded was the initial one to use as a platform. We actually created this side company for marketing. And we, you know, we like to give small businesses an opportunity to kind of be able to blast their food through social media. And we have multiple accounts. We have one called Food God Zaddy. That's our, it was initially a troll account because of this one person thinking he was the best food blogger. But it became into something, and we have like about 160,000 followers. We have Nation's Best Bites. That was started a long time ago. That's about 140,000, 150,000. We also have, if I'm not mistaken, I have to go back and check. There's just so many now that I'm not able to.
I mean, those are plenty, I think, to get the just out of, you know, mini kebab. I think just following the mini kebab, mini, you said underscore kebab.
Yes, mini underscore kebab.
It's so delicious. It's so appetizing that every time I see your stories, I'm like dreaming of having a bite of that. So it's so good. So yummy. So, no. So yes, going back. So that is, I think, having your parents, having yourself showing behind the business, it is, I think, one of the ways to be successful, because you're showing the truth, you know, whatever is going in the kitchen, you know, who is making the food and how they are making. And it is so important. It's, for myself, I love to cook. And I know the days when I'm happy and my mood is good, the food comes out so much tastier than if I'm in a rush or if I have to just get it done. Isn't that true?
It's very, very true. And, you know, it's a mindset, and you definitely need to be in a good mindset when you're cooking. So when you're not, it's not going to come out well. As much as people like to say it, it's not. There's a difference when you're doing something with love than when you're not doing it at all with love. So it's just, you got to make sure you're in the right headspace before you're trying to do something that's going to ultimately affect somebody's, day, in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can see it through the pictures, you know, how your mom and dad are, like, so happy, cheerful, and you're like, okay, this is going to be so yummy. going back to today, you know, what's going on, even, you know, the pictures are cheerful. I'm sure you guys are very motivated. How today's situation has affected your business, and what have you guys done to adapt to the current situation?
So right before all this hit, obviously we knew coronavirus since November, December. we knew it was going to come here. We just didn't know how we were going to approach it. And so March 14th, I remember, I knew that the lockdowns were coming. So what I wanted to do was I just wanted to close. I wanted to close, kind of recalibrate, understand. So we closed Mini Cava for 2 weeks. I've never had 2 weeks off. My mom and dad have never had 2 weeks off. My mom and dad were able to see their niece and nephew for that long. And in terms of adaptability, it was a matter of, okay, how can we adapt after and come back? And so we came back and we opened our doors, but what we did was only takeout. We didn't let anybody in the restaurant. We were promoting more Postmates, Grubhub, third-party service delivery company apps to kind of pursue, just so the people feel more comfortable. And we did contactless and, you know, wearing the face mask, we were wearing gloves. We were ahead of the curve, in my opinion, because we had everything. And then we closed up shop again because I became fearful of my parents. My dad's 70 almost. He's had underlying health issues. My mom's, you know, 64, and she's doing okay, but I just didn't want to risk anything. So it's a matter of me feeling comfortable and for them specifically. So I'm a bit more conscious of them.
Yes.
We closed again, but we just reopened. I had to make sure, okay, we're doing everything right. And so we put a table out in the front. So nobody even steps foot into the restaurant. I don't let anybody, you know, touch door handles, nothing. I just want to make sure people are coming in. The door's open. I have a fan that's blowing directly out of where they're standing. So wherever a person is speaking, there's a fan that's basically blowing everything back. I'm taking extra precautions. I'm changing my gloves through every cash transaction. I'm washing my hands every 5 minutes. And, you know, this isn't something people need to teach me. I used to be in charge of health and sanitation at the restaurants as
Absolutely.
Well. So, you know, and for me, it's a matter of, okay, we just got to be a bit more on top of things we're already on top of it. We just need to be a bit more extra. And so, yeah, nobody comes into the restaurant. Meat deliveries, everything is delivered to the front. And I take everything out of the boxes because they've been touched. It's crazy, the whole process. But, you know, regardless of the fact, all of our produce and vegetables get washed. All of our meat gets washed as well. And we wash it in cold water before we do any type of marinating. So that's one thing that I appreciate about what we do and what we are as Mini Kebab. But it's in matter of adaptability, all we ultimately did was just change up some routines. Honestly, this is more relaxing for us because nobody comes into the restaurant. We don't have to feel stressful about having to tend to people. So yeah. Ultimately what people do is come, get their food, and go. I have Postmates, Grubhub pickup orders. I don't touch anybody. I don't shake anybody's hands. Everything is done really quick and swift. I make sure that when people come, they just give me their names. They go back to their cars, and I go wave them down when they're about ready to pay. I wipe the table down. Mm-hmm. And if there's, you know, cash that's dropped on the table, I wipe it down with 90% alcohol. So it's just a matter of, you know, being attentive to everything. And even though it's a little excessive at the moment, we all need to be a little excessive.
It's okay. So people can order, they can come in or they can order on the other deliveries. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Briefly, if you can tell, what are your plans for the future? And I'm sure the future is bright.
I hope so. So the goal for me was, let's let Mini Kebab be Mini Kebab. Let me grow Mideast Tacos into a brick and mortar. and we wanted to scale that. But right now, it's obviously kind of put a little damper on things. We were looking at property in downtown LA, but obviously put a little damper on things. We're not making any money. We're actually losing money every month. So after everything comes back into normal, I'm probably going to have to reassess things and how we approach it and then go from there. With Mini Kebab, I would like to expand within, just because we know everybody knows where it is and there's no need to kind of jump elsewhere and change things up really quick. So we want to do everything within. The goal is expansion. Right now it's a little meek because we don't know what's happening, but it's there and it will happen. We just don't know when.
I'm sure it will. Thank you, Armin, so much. Thank you for joining and sharing the wonderful stories. It's very admirable. I cannot wait to meet you in person and eat your food. Thank you.
Drink some wine. Yes.
Drink some wine. Yes, absolutely. Till next time.
Thank you, Anush.